You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
I thought Hundley was freaking... I thought his fourth quarter was unbelievable. And
man, he looked good, yeah.
I'm not... You know, I don't want to get super-duper high right now, but at the same time, I do want to get super-duper high.
On life.
On Hundley and life, and in general. And whichever context you want to take that in.
Take New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian, it's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about...
Did you just promise
tonight
that we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another victory edition of Pack to the Future podcast. As always, I am your host, John Jameson, coming in hot, bringing you the latest and greatest news on the Green Bay Packers, the green and gold, going into Chi-Town, getting the win. Man, it feels good. Joining me tonight, Brian Fonfara, Dusty Evesley, no Jordan Peck. Brian,
no Jordan Peck.
How you is dog?
Oh, that was a beautiful introduction. Thank you, John. Besides the fact that I'm battling a pretty bad cough, and I'll try to keep that cough out of your ears tonight, I'm doing pretty good. Man, that was at times a really boring game to watch on Sunday. Just, there were too many bad quarterback moments, but a couple really great ones at the end that I know we'll talk about. So, yeah, dude, I'm pumped.
A win is a win. And, you know, at this stage in the season with where the Packers are at, We are going to take any win that we can get. And luckily we went to Chicago and we handled our business. And the team seemed to rally this past week. And they came together and they got the win. And that's got to give them some kind of confidence going forward. And, I mean, it was a nice little win. But, you know, Brian, as always.
Yes, sir.
As always, I got a little something for you.
Let me hear it.
I got a trivia question for you.
Lay it on me.
Because we are tried and true fans of the game of football, Packer fans.
Yep.
We have proceeded to have many, many sellouts in a row at Lambeau Field. Exactly how many sellouts in a row have the Packers had at Lambeau Field?
Yikes. My goodness. It has to go back like 30 years or something, right? So I'm going to say 8 home games a year. I'm going to say 240.
240? Okay. Respectable guess.
Thank you. I've always wanted to be a respectable guesser.
Oh, Dusty Evesley. Hey, hello. Hello.
Jerry, hello.
Jerry Jones is going to be kicked out of the league. You saw that, right? They're forming a coalition to kick him out of the league.
I mean, listen, it took them half a season to get Ezekiel Elliott up out of here, so I believe Jerry Jones is gone. They actually like rip the team from his cold that dead fingers. Happening. So we'll see.
Oh man, how's Dusty doing?
I'm good. You know, John, I've never really mentioned this before, but I am impressed with how consistently you mispronounce my last name. Like every,
it's on purpose now. You know that,
single
right?
One. I know, but it's the same way every single time.
That is impressive.
Like it's pretty impressive. I thought he was going to try something different. He doesn't. It's the same way every single time. And I'm really I'm proud of you. Yeah, I like that you're sticking to it, John.
The reason why I do it is because it's what your last name should be.
You know, and there's no problem with Evely.
At some point, I'm going to get my 94-year-old grandfather on here to defend the honor of how my last name is pronounced, and you're going to be in real trouble there.
I am. If there's...
I was going to try to figure out how to mispronounce Jameson in a way that made sense, and I can't think of one. Jameson. Jameson?
The worst
God, that
way,
sounds cool.
The worst way you could pronounce it is James-on.
James-on? Oh, that is good. Okay, yeah.
So
yours is better. You got, I mean, you nail my last name every week. I'm proud of you, John.
I am proud of you. And I am proud
thanks,
that
John.
You got the trivia question right last week. And that one,
I did.
That was,
I forgot about
that. That one was a softball. You know, it was a softball pitch to you. Your team was down two. And you had two runners on, and you crushed it out of the park. Game over. You win.
Never seen me play softball, John.
Yeah, I know that you can jack a home run. And I'm looking for a grand salami this week, Dusty. How many games have the Packers sold out in a row?
Oh man. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go higher than Brian. I think I'm gonna go like 375. I'm going real high because I feel like that goes back to like a very, very, very long way. So I'm going to go, yeah, I'll go 375. And actually, before John gives the answer, Brian, did you listen? You listened to the show last week because you edited it. Did you know the answer to John's trivia question?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember what it was.
It was something about
there was a Packer player in 1995 who set his eyebrows and eyelashes on fire.
You know, when John asked it, I didn't know off the top of my head, but as soon as you said Travis Jervey, I said, that's the right answer. Okay, there was no other answer.
So if you would have gone second, if you would have gone after me, you would have got it correct. But if you would have gone first, you would not have got it correct.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so I won last week, even if Brian was there. We'll write that down, John. I won last week.
Yeah, he won.
Brian was there.
Brian would have been like,
he won and Jordan lost.
Jordan's guess was a good one, though. I did like Jordan's guess.
Yeah, yeah. He was good.
Well, no offense to Tim Gallert, but I unfortunately was not the best at math. And I feel like I was about to say, if you guys split the difference, you guys might be right on, but Dusty's a lot closer, and the
before
correct...
he gives the answer for the 90% of our audience that does not know who Tim Gallert is, was our high school math teacher. So
I'd say I did not know who Tim Gallert.
Legend. But yes, the correct answer, guys, is 331 consecutive games.
Oof.
Sold out at all Lambeau right. Field.
So Dusty's closest, but he went over, so I win.
We never set prices right rules, Brian.
Yeah,
we
absolutely said it was prices right rules.
But guess this is not your trivia game.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, this is John's trivia game.
Yes.
That's true, Brian.
And my word is bond. And
it's my podcast.
It's my Commander in Chief chiming in.
Brian wins. I'm hijacking the audio and editing out the part where Brian says this is my podcast. I don't know how I'm gonna do it. I don't know how I'm gonna get it from him, but I'm gonna do it.
Brian, you can't have the cold open mid episode. You know, you should have just said that earlier, and that would have been perfect. But guys, congratulations on another week of trivia. Congratulations on another fine introduction that we bring to you guys every single freaking week. Without further ado, the patented coin toss segment coming up hot and fresh. Brian Fonfara is taking this sucker away right now.
All right, John. We are onto our coin toss segment, and we're talking that douche nugget that now plays in New England. We're just going to get this crap out of the way, and we're going to bash Martellus Bennett a little bit. So Dusty versus John. What I want to know is, does he actually have a shoulder injury, or was all of it a complete fabrication? All right. So John, I'm going to flip this coin. If it's heads, you're going to say he had an injured shoulder. If it's tails, you're going to say it was a total lie. It's tails. He was lying, John.
Absolutely freaking yes, it was a lie. He saw Aaron Rodgers go down with an injury. He saw not he did not have any confidence in the Packers organization beyond Aaron Rodgers. He thought Rodgers was his chance to go back to back in Super Bowl wins, going from Brady to Rodgers. And Rodgers goes down. He loses all faith in the Green Bay Packers and comes up with this BS shoulder injury. Maybe he got a little bit of a knock way back in his Chicago Bears days. And he decided bring it back into light, and then not only did he just try and fake an injury, but he threw the ever so lovely Dr. Pat McKenzie under the bus all in one sitting. And guys, this guy is a class A D nugget, as Brian put it, and absolutely 100% is faking this injury. You saw it when he decided to line up for this. The Patriots on Sunday night, 100% fabrication that he has a shoulder injury. And he is the most hated player to ever wear a Green Bay Packers jersey in the history of Green Bay Packers. Enough said.
Dusty, before you go, I'm going to warn you that John right now has a bonus point because he described an injury that Bennett may have had with soccer terms by saying he picked up a knock. So, well done, John, for using a soccer term. That is not your audience.
I'm going to do you one better. I do think that Bennett injured his shoulder while he was on the pitch. On the pitch, Brian, that's another soccer term.
All right, there you go. Bonus point. We're all even. Make your point.
Doing one of them bicycle kicks or whatever they do. I think Bennett's embellishing this. I think when you look at kind of how guys have responded to his claims against McKenzie have been ridiculous. And I mean, you got Rodgers and Nelson who don't ever really say much anything. They don't really take too many stands. But then you get guys outside the organization. You get James Jones and Don Barkley. And the big one was JerMichael Finley. JerMichael Finley, who takes any shot possible, take a shot at the Packers, came out and said, oh, no, McKenzie was more cautious than he should have been. So I think he's embellishing it. I think he's making it out to be bigger than it is. I think he's trying to make himself seem like the victim. That being said, I do think he has a shoulder injury. He didn't seem quite right. And we saw him in New England, this past week, and he looked fine. But the entire time in Green Bay, I mean, he had been one of his biggest things. There's two big things he could do. He could block and he could catch, which I guess are two big things you need to do as a tight end. So most tight ends can do that, but we have Richard Rodgers, so you know he can't do one of those things. Whatever. But he never quite seemed right. The speed wasn't there, and you kind of wonder, you know, a shoulder injury possibly could have had something to do with that. His hands weren't quite there. Like, it just, there was something off about him all year, and I think an injury does explain that. Now, again, I think he's embellishing it to make himself seem more like the victim than he is, while failing at every single term, and everyone see, like, even Patriots fans, like, oh yeah, he lied, but I don't care because he's on my team now. Like, yeah. Everyone knows that he lied. Everyone knows that he made this bigger than it is. I do think he had a shoulder injury. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think he needs surgery on it like he's claiming he did. But I do think he had a shoulder injury, and I think that was kind of off about him all year.
All right. I'm going to take this opportunity to make fun of the broadcast team that we suffered through this Sunday. Because one of the things that they brought up while talking about Martellus Bennett was how well off the Packers still are because they have Lance Kendricks, who I think is a really good second option at tight end.
Yeah.
And will have some big games. And then Richard Rodgers, both of whom are starting caliber. And I'm like, I don't know about all that. Oh my goodness. All right, but I'll give the point to Dusty on this one. I know he wanted to say meaner things about Bennett than he even did, and found a way to be mean to Bennett in the category that was supposed to be defending Bennett. So that's well done, Dusty.
That's my gift. Take shots at people when you're supposed to be building them up. That's what I do well,
Brian. There it is. That's true.
That was very well argued, Dusty. And I personally enjoyed my time that I had to rip on him, and it worked out both ways, Dusty. But now it is my turn to take over as judge of the coin toss. And obviously we got Brian and Dusty going at each other. So, Brian, the question I pose to you is, are you now more confident in the Packers pass rush going forward than you were prior to Sunday? So I'm going to flip this coin right here. And if the coin is heads, Brian, you will tell me that the Packers pass rush, you're more confident in them. So,
all right,
here we go. And it is heads, so you are more confident in their pass rush.
All right, I just got to say, the video of John using his app to flip that coin, he actually lifted his phone up in the air like he was flipping an actual coin.
No, that's how it works. I like you flick up, and it just goes, and it's pretty sweet.
It's called called showmanship, Brian, is what it's called. You could use a little more of it, buddy.
We really need to start putting videos of this podcast on YouTube, man.
No, public access TV. That's what public, needs
that. Oh, I'm into it. Yep. I am into that.
Yep.
All right. So I feel good about this pass rush. Okay. Look, with how good our interior defensive line is, they do so well to take away that option of a quarterback just stepping up and getting away from the pass rush, because the middle of the pocket on most plays is totally destroyed by Clark and Daniels. The other thing is Ahmad Brooks was healthy this week. And yes, some of those sacks can be attributed to Trubisky holding onto the ball, but we were able to see less of Kyler Fackrell, and that's always a good thing. And more of Ahmad Brooks. And B, you get to kind of get Clay out of the game in positions where he doesn't need to be in there, and he can save himself for actually rushing the passer. And those two factors, I think, took a little bit of attention away from Nick Perry, and he was able to get his three sacks on the day. So I'm just going to go back to this interior line being so good. They can only push the quarterback out of the pocket so many times before outside guys finally get some pressure on a quarterback and record a few sacks. So between that and between the overall getting healthier, yes, I feel better about this pass rush.
Dusty, you do not feel better about this pass rush.
Yeah, not really. I mean, I like having Brooks back, and Beagle's been good. You know, I honestly didn't really notice him too much this past game. I haven't gone through and watched it too closely, but a couple weeks ago he jumped off the TV whenever he was on, and this past week I didn't notice him too much. The big thing comes down to me, listen, man, they've been struggling for weeks. They showed out against Seattle because Seattle's got a garbage line, and they've been struggling. It's what we talked about before the season. It's something we feared all through the season, that they don't have the pieces. If Clay wasn't going to be Clay, and if Perry was going to be a little injured, and if Fackrell was going to be just a piece of toast on the edge, like, you knew they were going to struggle to do that, and they have. And they got, you know, they picked up five sacks against Chicago. Like, that's great. Over the past three games, Chicago's averaging, like, close to four sacks per game anyway. On the season, they're 22nd in sacks allowed on offense. So, I mean, and I think they've gotten worse since Trubisky. I mean, Glennon was no great shakes exactly, but he knew when to run for his life and throw the ball. And Trubisky's still, he's young, he's athletic. There's things I think he thinks he can get away with that he can't yet. He's a little slow reading the defense. Tends to hold the ball for a little long. So, I mean, what I saw in Chicago was great, man. I love seeing them get after Trubisky. But it just seemed like it was going up against a team that gives up against a lot of sacks, against a rookie quarterback who seems to have some issues. And I think Trubisky will be fine. But he's a rookie, and he has some issues. So, I mean, I think they looked better. I do think they looked better than they have for a few weeks. But that doesn't mean that I'm confident about them going forward. I still think they're going to have the same struggles that they've had all season. It's one good game against a team that gives up a lot of sacks is not enough to turn the tide for me.
I'll keep it short and sweet. Nice long pause. You get that joke? Come on. And you know what? You know, it goes as follows. Brian gets the win. I know the Capers has had very good success against rookie and young quarterbacks. But at the same time, I do think health is a big key to what this pass rush can do going forward. And if they stay healthy, I think that they can really turn the ship around and get some quarterback get some pressure on the quarterback. So well done, Brian.
Yo.
All right. I'm upset that John handed me the loss, so we're going to see how this goes.
It's fine.
Because I've got the next one now, and the next one is Brian versus John. And here's what we got, fellas. Listen, we just saw the third career start of Brett Hundley, and he played a lot of the previous games. We've seen, you know, we've seen some solid tape on Hundley at this point. We've kind of seen what he can do. We've seen some struggles, seen some good moments. This past week, he delivered two big passes in the fourth quarter that helped lead the Packers to win. One, I dare say, Rodgers-esque, that touchdown to Adams. Oh, yeah. So here is where I come to you, fellas. John.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you, are you confident in Brett Hundley going forward? Do you think that Hundley does enough in this passing offense to give us a shot at the playoffs? Are you higher on him this week than you were last week? Basically, do you feel good about Hundley at this point? I'm going to flip the coin. John, if it's heads, you feel confident. If it's tails, you do not feel confident. John, it is heads, you feel confident in Brett Hundley.
I feel confident because Brett Hundley feels confident. You saw his face on the sideline in the fourth quarter. You know, prior to that, you weren't seeing that kind of demeanor from Brett Hundley. Yeah, he was on the field chewing his gum, you know, appearing like he was in the zone. But what you saw in the fourth quarter was him actually put all of his talents that he knows he has on display and make throws that the team needed to have happen to win the game. And you saw the team rally around him, and that in return is going to give him confidence going forward. And, you know, we've seen throughout his years in Green Bay, granted, it may have been against, you know, second team defenses and third team defenses, granted, whatever year you watch from him, sometimes first, but you know, you did see legit just moments where he could really come out there and be a legit quarterback in this football league. And I think we talked about it, you know, a few times before, maybe on or off the podcast, where we thought that Hundley could garner getting some draft picks, and then he comes out and he starts playing and you're like, you know what, maybe he's not as good as we thought he was. But this game, I think what's happened is that he has had time now to acclimate to being the number one guy, and just understanding what he needs to do. He's got more film to go off of in the Packers war room for the QBs, and they are dissecting his film and they are making him better week by week. And we are going to see a very good Brett Hundley going forward, and hopefully that's going to result in a lot more wins for this team in the absence of Aaron Rodgers.
All right, Brian, you are not confident in Hundley.
Well, I have to concede that he was much better in this game overall than he had been in the last two. But if we're talking about a guy that can lead us to three or four more wins, or a guy that can lead us to competing for a playoff spot, I haven't seen enough yet. Two great throws in the fourth quarter, but still quite a few missed reads. Took a couple sacks that he really shouldn't have, where he could have gotten rid of the ball, or he could have tucked it and ran. A couple times where he could have tucked it and ran, but threw it away instead. And I know part of that is due to his hamstring injury, and that's another thing that worries me, is if he doesn't have that bailout option where if the pocket's breaking down, he can tuck it and run. And you saw how slowly his one good run that he had, it was really slow, which is not typical Brett Hundley. He's actually pretty quick. You could see that leading to a couple panic moments where he takes a sack that normally he would escape the pressure and at least get the throw away. Or you see him rushing a throw that he would normally be able to buy a couple more seconds for. And maybe that leads to an interception. Maybe it leads to more incompletions. I still need more. I need to see him do for an entire game what he was able to do in that fourth quarter. We need to see a lot more poise. That's for sure. We need a lot more poise. So, yeah, I would say that, yes, he's shown improvement, but he has not done enough for me to say, yeah, that's our quarterback. That's a guy that can get us into the playoffs. That's a guy who can win three or four more games. I need to see more before I can say that.
Both very good arguments. Both well reasoned. More than that, I feel like you both believe your points, which is something a lot of times I feel like we argue what we have to argue, and you guys both believed them. I'm gonna be. I'm not gonna say petty. I'm not gonna be petty. What I'm gonna do is give it based on first impressions. And John coming out of the gate with I'm confident Huntley because he's confident. That line got me. I love that line, John. I know you've been sitting on that all week. You've been waiting to use it.
Oh,
and here's your payoff, buddy.
Don't call me out like that, bud.
You get your point, John. Dusty saw you had like a notebook in front of him, like he had it written out, like he had just been sitting on it since it's like since Rogers got injured, he's like been waiting
just
to use that line. He finally got to do it.
Just like a Lil Wayne rap. It's all off the top of the head, bud. Come on.
I'm going to request that I get half a point for that one because, Dusty, you said that you felt I really believed my point. I half believed it. These are things that I think, but overall, like, I honestly, on the hamstring point, I think that hamstring issue may be the best thing that's ever happened to Brett Hundley.
Okay, I was going to bring that up as far as, like, if that hamstring, if you feel it helps him or hurts him. Because, it definitely hurts the bailout. But if that forces him to kind of stay in the pocket and read that a little bit, like, do you think – I mean, no injury is going to help someone. But based on where he is in his career right now, do you feel like that hamstring injury kind of hampering him? Do you feel like that kind of helps him?
Yeah, and I'm gonna steal some points from Peter Bukowski, who was on what's that show? Pulse of the Pack this week that made their triumphant return. They hadn't been on for a while. And Peter was on, and he was talking about that very thing. And while you could see that he wasn't willing to run or wasn't able to run the way that he likes to and wasn't able to bail, he wasn't allowed to bail anymore. So it kind of forced mm-hmm. him into making some throws that he might have been too afraid to make in the past and would have passed up on. So, yeah, you could almost see this instant maturing before your eyes because there was no other option for him but to mature and make these throws. I'm never going to say an injury is a good thing, but it
– Well, yeah, because even beyond the running, you get that kind of tight hammy, and that could affect the way you throw a ball, affect the way you move. It can affect a lot of things. But if it kind of – I'm with you. I mean, even I'm still not sold this team's making the playoffs. So if it's kind of a lost season, but this kind of helps in his development, if this mm-hmm. kind of forces him to stick in the playoffs. Now, if this forces Joe Callahan in the game, we're having a different conversation. But if it just kind of forces him to be a little less mobile, like, yeah, I kind of love to see that. Kind of forces him to have a little more pocket presence and go through his progressions.
I mean, guys, Ravens, Steelers, Browns. I mean, like, guys, the Steelers are – it seems this year they're a very hit or miss team. And if this is Hundley going forward, and Rodgers does project to come back against Carolina, we could see this team in the playoffs. I'm just saying that. I mean,
I'm not writing them off. I do think they can do it. It's just, if they don't and this kind of aids in his development, I'm fine with that. But yeah, I, after this win, if they had lost this game, I think I would have written them off. After this win, I'm not writing them off yet. And, I still think this team's got life in them.
And the cool thing, though, is that the teams that we need to lose are teams that we absolutely hate the most in the Vikings and the Seahawks. Like, we need those two teams to lose every single game that they play. And so that just makes this a lot more interesting. And and what is also very extremely interesting is Brian Popera's guest interviews every single week. And we love the interesting facts. We love the interesting side of things. And we love everything that you bring to our interviews, Brian. And this lucky person got to interview with Brian this week. Our famous Brian Popera commander in chief. He is Kyle Barber. He is from Baltimore Beatdown, an SB Nation blog for the Baltimore Ravens. And without further ado, Brian Popera and Kyle Barber talking about this week's matchup, Packers v. Ravens. Enjoy. Pack to the Future is brought to you by Handmade by Heroes, officially licensed NFL, NBA, NCAA, MLB, and NHL products, as well as golf, medical, and U.S. military branch accessories. You can even have your own design, custom made, all handmade by U.S. military veterans. Paracord bracelets, keychains, lanyards, and more. Each handmade by a hero. Visit them online at handmadebyheroes.com and use promo code PACK for free shipping on your next order. Handmade by Heroes, empowering our nation's veterans.
All right, guys, Brian here, and I'm here with Kyle Barber of Baltimore Beatdown. Kyle, how's it going?
It's going really well. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing quite well, quite well. Coming off a first Brett Hundley win, I'm doing a lot better than I thought I'd be at this point.
There you go.
All right. Well, Kyle, first of all, thanks for joining us, and we'll jump right into it. I'm going to ask a question that might annoy you, but I want to know what's going on with Joe Flacco in this offense. Do you have a Flacco problem? Do you have an offense problem? Because I'm looking at the stats and seeing 8 touchdowns and 10 interceptions from a guy who at one point was a very good quarterback.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year for Joe Flacco. He's coming off of injuries with his back before even training camp occurred due to what the team spoke about as weightlifting issues. But, he missed all of training camp. He didn't have time to, you know, create chemistry with his receivers, with Jeremy Maclin, Mike Wallace. Breshad Perriman fought another injury for what feels like every single season of his NFL career. And with everything that's been currently going on, I think this is just a full offensive issue. They also lost Marshall Yanda. They've, in fact, lost 4 starting guards, which is a huge issue for the team. They haven't been able to create a strong offensive line, though they're playing what, by PFF standards, as above average, which is rather interesting because I haven't seen above average offensive line play from the team. I think more than anything, it's just a full offensive problem. And yes, it starts with Joe Flacco, but I believe it also is worth mentioning the offensive scheme is never really his style. It's Marty Mornenwig's West Coast offense, and Joe Flacco's never fit into a West Coast scheme. He's not that kind of a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always take Pro Football Focus rankings with a sometimes a pretty big grain of salt. I can only take them so far. Like, I think they're an overall decent gauge, but yeah, there are things like that happen all the time. So with this offense and the struggles, our defense has struggled just the same way. Does that make you feel like warm and fuzzy inside that maybe this is the week they can turn it around or not so much?
I hope that the Ravens offense can turn it around. I believe a bye week right now was very helpful to the team. They were able to, kind of just take a step back and then refocus and then take the step forward going into the next week. It's big that they're playing yet another backup quarterback. And while that doesn't mean the offense is playing a backup quarterback, it means the entire team is. And with mm-hmm. the defense being able to create success and hopefully force Brett Hundley into making mistakes or the entire offense making mistakes, this can capitalize with the Ravens with a short field and with Joe Flacco not having the pressure that normally comes when you play against Ben Roethlisberger or Andy Dalton or anybody else with a starting quarterback that is capable of pushing an offense back and pushing a defense back and making this a full 60-minute football game rather than the Ravens defense cutting it short and forcing them to play with better field play.
All right, so you mentioned the defense. I mean, this is a team that has won 2 Super Bowls, both on the heels of a humongously effective defense. Hard-hitting, hard-nosed. Is the reputation still true? Is this still a defense that Brett Hundley should be losing sleep over this week?
I really hope so, more than anything. I really hope so. On paper, they look terrifying. They had Tony Jefferson. They added Tony Jefferson to a team that already had the safety of Eric Weddle. Brandon Williams is known for his extremely talented run defense, and he's a powerful individual. I've seen him in person. He's an absolute monster. I can't believe they make people that big, by the way. Terrell Suggs is still on this team, and any team with Terrell Suggs, I think, is still something to be feared. I'm confident in this defense, and they've done rather well against rookie quarterbacks. The first time they've ever lost one at home in the John Harbaugh era was actually just to Mitchell Trubisky a couple weeks back. Other than that, they've truly bullied rookie quarterbacks, at least at the Ravens field. Now on the road, I believe it's a different situation, but going to Green Bay, it's not really a monstrous home advantage for Green Bay, as Baltimore plays in the weather and they play in hard conditions, and they actually kind of love playing in these conditions. It makes them a little stronger because good defenses love playing in the cold because it's always, an opinion that offensive players don't like playing in the cold nearly as much as defensive players do. I think Brett Hundley is going to be a little worried. I don't know if he should be scared and losing sleep, but he should definitely be a little worried about which Ravens defense is coming out there on Sunday.
All right. So you said a couple magic words, which Ravens defense will come out there. I want to know, I'm looking up and down your schedule, looking at a 20-0 win over the Bengals. I'm looking at a 30-17 win at Oakland. I'm looking at a 40-0 win against Miami. But then I'm seeing a loss at home to the Bears. I'm seeing a 44-7 loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Inconsistency is what I'm seeing. So I want to know which team, which offense, which defense is going to show up this week.
With this being the bye week, coming off of the bye week, excuse me, I'm confident that the Baltimore Ravens are going to be the strong and scary team that they always show every other week is what it feels like. The team is now 4-5. They've had their bye week, and they'll win another game, and they'll go 5-5, and then they might go 6-5, and then back to 6-6. It's such a unique, inconsistent consistency that's occurring right now. I mean, I've seen it for the last few seasons, in fact, and I mean, I've had to cover it. And in one game, you absolutely bully a team like the Miami Dolphins, because consistently the Baltimore Ravens have absolutely bullied the Dolphins, but then the next week they'll play another team and they'll choke up and they'll allow three touchdowns to Michael Crabtree. It feels like this team is the most consistently inconsistent team in the NFL. And I believe that I'm confident that with this being after the bye week and they've had a week of rest and really focus and game plan for the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers, that it's going to be a hard game for the Green Bay Packers to win, even at home.
All right, having said all of that, go ahead and let me know how you see this Sunday specifically going down, and give me a final score prediction.
Oof, I've never been one for score predictions. I'm actually not even the one when the entire Baltimore beatdown staff actually writes about like score predictions and talking about the game. I actually exclude myself from those articles, and I'm the managing editor. It's because I don't know if it's a stigma or if it's me worried about, you know, if I'm a little superstitious about it. But I mean, I'm never really that close on a public stage. I mean, I'll do it with in chats with my editors and stuff. But if I got to do it, I'll do it for the podcast. You know,
lead by example. Kyle.
I see this game. I'm gonna try. I think the score is gonna be a little one sided. I believe it could be about 27-13. I think that's a fair thing. Brett Hundley's gonna look good. I believe he'll unfortunately make a couple erroneous throws, or there might be some passes that are batted because the Ravens have done really well with that this season, or just a drop pass that falls into Eric Weddle's hands. I think that's going to be a situation that will occur. And other than like the mistakes that the small amount of mistakes, Brett Hundley will look good as long as he doesn't throw Jimmy Smith's way. I think he'll do pretty well. But in the end, a touchdown and some short field positions for the Baltimore Ravens offense will just unfortunately put this out of reach for the Green Bay Packers.
That's fair. It's hard for me to predict wins when Aaron Rodgers isn't playing and seeing how this defense has played for the Packers. However, Dom tends to do pretty well against teams that don't see him very often, and the Ravens haven't seen the Packers for 4 years. So,
yeah,
I got to give him a little bit of an edge there against an offense that is struggling fairly well right now. Things that Brett Hundley showed, you know, he injured his hamstring early in the game and just got better and better as the game went on because he wasn't bailing out of the pocket, showed this actual poise that we hadn't seen in the 3 weeks prior. So I'm going to just count that in my mind as progress and say that he's going to start taking what this defense will give him, and he's going to make a few throws kind of like he did in that fourth quarter. So I'm going to go out on a limb in my mind and say the Packers will win this one. I'm going to say it's going to be real close, though. I'm going to say like 23-20, maybe.
Oh, man. That's a Ravens game. That's such a Ravens game,
exactly.
Too. The Packers will go up. by like 3 scores at half, and then the Ravens will claw their way back in the third, and then the fourth quarter they'll score two they'll make it from a 3-possession game to a 1 with about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left, and then they just, once they get the ball, they drive it down to the 17-yard line, and on 4 plays they don't get it in the end zone. That's such a cliche Ravens game. Now that you've said it, I feel like it's forced it to become true, and I'm not happy about it, Brian. I'm not happy about it.
You sound a
my
little.
My mother jaded. Will be though. My mother will be.
Oh yeah.
Yes, my mother will be. She's actually a huge Green Bay Packers fan. Green Bay. I can't believe. Yes, when I was a little kid, I was a fan of the Green Bay Packers. They had Brett Favre, who was a superhero. He still is a superhero in my mind. And he had the same name as my stepdad, so I was like, yeah, Brett Favre, my dad's Brett, so obviously I'm going to be a Packers fan. I've been to the Big Cheese. I've been there. I went through Green Bay. I actually did the whole tour and everything. It's wonderful.
Very nice.
I'll tell you that. But I'm going with the Ravens in this game, though. I'm going with the birds right here.
Right. Well, I got to know what happened, what traumatic event happened in your life that caused you to stop being a Packer fan. Why would you do that to yourself?
That's a great question. I was just in college, and I was never a monstrous fan, and I never really got to watch football on TV. So I was just kind of fan by proxy, and because my parents were fans, that I was just with them. And then when I went off to college, I found out that I could have cable television in my room. And I started watching preseason football and talking with my roommates. And I'm like, you're not, they told me that I should find a team that I actually want to be interested in. And I was like, well, I picked the Packers just because, my parents were. Maybe I'll find a different team. And on YouTube, I found Ray Lewis highlights, and then I found Ed Reed highlights. And Ed Reed was pretty much who I wanted to be when I was a kid. I wanted to be 6-foot-tall and super fast and could make all the plays and score touchdowns and be this hard-hitting ball hawk safety. And I was like, man, this guy's so good. I want to be a fan of his team. And then the Ravens won the Super Bowl that year, and that's all she wrote.
Oh. We all make terrible decisions when we're in college, so I won't hold that one against you. If you ever want to come back to the green and gold, there is always a spot for you at Pack to the Future. So we would welcome you with open
arms,
Kyle.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, Kyle, before we sign off, go ahead and tell the good people at home where they can find your work and what you do.
BaltimoreBeatdown.com is where we publish the latest and greatest Baltimore Ravens news. You can follow us on Twitter. The Baltimore Beatdown one is going to be @BMoreBeatdown. If you want to follow me personally, you can go to @BB_KylePBarber. We got a podcast of our own that's on SoundCloud, Be More Beatdown. And other than that, I'll enjoy some Pack to the Future this week.
All right. Sounds good, man. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, Brian.
Splendid guest interview, Brian Fonfara. As always, thanks. Well done. It is time to switch back our focus to the green and gold, the good side, as I always put it, the Jedi side, as I always put it. Brian Fonfara, the Packers need to do 3 things to win this game on Sunday. Indulge us, please.
All right. Well, once again, I'll be doing Jordan's job for him. So thanks, Jordan. And I'm assuming everybody who's listening right now just listened to our guest interview and know that I predicted a Packers win 23-20. And here are a couple things that they need to do to get there. We talked in the guest interview about the struggling offense for the Ravens and part of it being Flacco not playing well and part of it being that offensive line being injured, depleted, really not good. So we have to continue that pass rush, continue that pressure, and get to Flacco, and he will throw picks, he will throw errant balls, and, for a guy that's averaging less than a touchdown per game and just over an interception per game, that is exactly the kind of target Dom Capers is hoping for. And, Capers tends to do better against players and teams that don't see him very often because they have less film to, figure him out. And once he's figured out, as we saw against the Lions. So I think this is a good opportunity for him to kind of throw some looks that Joe Flacco's not expecting. Offensively, for Brett Hundley, watch out for Jimmy Smith. That's their top-notch cornerback. And just take what the defense gives you. It's going to give you some looks. It's going to give you some open guys. And really just try to build off of that fourth quarter that you had last week. Because that's exactly what Hundley was doing. He was taking what was given to him. And then he was able to hit one shot downfield on that third down. And it was one of the best throws he's made in his career. And finally, you got to shut down the running game. I don't know what it is about the Baltimore Ravens. They go through running backs like crazy, but all of them seem to be good, even if it's just for a short period of time. And Javarius Allen is doing the job, and so is Alex Collins. They've got a running game, and if we can disrupt that the way we did the Bears running game last week, like a top-notch running game, and we held them to, what, 55 yards, I believe? So do that. More of that and get to Joe Flacco, and that offense won't do anything. So I think there's a very real chance that the Packers win this game.
All right. Dusty, buy some numbers.
Yeah. So I actually had the thing about the interception, so I'm going to cut that out. So thanks, Brian, for stealing one of my stats. But I've got other ones. So I'm still good. All right. So I'm going to start with just the team as a whole, just the Ravens as a whole, and then I'm going to hit Flacco because Flacco's terrible, and I like ripping on him because he looks like just a big old dope. He looks like Bert from Bert and Ernie, but he can throw a football far. Like, not well. He can just throw it really far. So far in this season, I thought this was kind of strange. In the third quarter, the Ravens are only averaging – it's 2.4 points per game in the third quarter. So, for whatever reason, they're very, very – very bad in the third quarter. It's by far and away their lowest scoring quarter. So if the Packers, if they go into the halftime and the Ravens are up, even if they're up, say, 10, just don't despair, because that third quarter could be a comebacker for the Packers. So just, you know, keep an eye on that third quarter. Flacco, I was looking, so Flacco's on the road coming into Green Bay. So far on the road this year, Flacco's completing 63.8% of his passes, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. That's not good. It is in fact bad.
Yes.
However, at home, like he's not really much better. He's 64.8% completion at home, so like 1 point better. Same touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Like, he's just bad. Flacco's just not good this year. And part of it, like Brian said, is that line, and part of that's just Flacco being Flacco. Flacco's never been great. Flacco's always a guy that can hit a big play. He can have stretches, but he's not consistent. He's not accurate enough to be consistent. So those 10 interceptions over 9 games, like Brian said, like, yeah, that he's going to throw one or two that can be picked off. Just watch out for those.
Yeah.
He is among guys who have started, I think, more than 2 games. I think that's where the stat came from this year. Flacco is last in the league. He's 33rd in the league with 5.3 passes, 5.3 yards per pass thrown, just last in the league. And going hand in hand with it, this was something, my last one here comes from, Zach Cruz, from, the Packers Wire. He posted this on Twitter, I believe earlier today. It was, this season, Joe Flacco has more completions for negative yards than completions of 20 yards. He actually has, 12 completions, wow. 12 completions in 9 games. Joe Flacco has 12 completions that went for negative yards and 10 that went for 20. And for a guy that kind of makes his hay for gunning downfield, That's pretty bad. Like, he's always kind of, and that's always kind of been his game. He checks down or he chucks, and he's doing very poorly at that this year. So, see, I thought, I saw that, I laughed and said, okay, I'm stealing that, but I still got to credit him because he does good work over there. So, those are my stats. Like, he's gonna throw some balls that can be picked. Like Brian said, you know, maybe not seeing Capers all that much plays in our favor. As well as Flacco just throwing picks this year. And I think he's had already 3 multi-interception games this year. So if he throws one, it's not over, man. He's going to throw 2 or 3 that could be picked. The Packers defense, their job is just to hang on to those. If you don't, he could burn you. But to hang on to the ones he gives you, because he's going to give you a couple. So all that being said, you know, maybe I'm feeling good about Hundley. Maybe I'm feeling good about Flacco throwing picks. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to go ahead and say Packers 27-17.
And I am very, very, very close to your final score prediction, Dusty. I think that Flacco has not been good at any point this year. Hasn't been good for a couple years now. And I think the Packers can take advantage of that and win this game 24-17, Packers. So, with that being said, it is now time for our final thoughts. Brian Fonfara, final thought me.
I will final thought you.
Thank you.
Right in the face. Here it comes. All right, I've got three. I'm going to get my non-football one out of the way. You talked about this trade last week, John, where the Bucks picked up Eric Bledsoe, and they're off to a 3-0 start since it happened.
Yeah, buddy.
And, man, I am more excited to watch Bucks basketball than I have been in a long time outside of last year's playoff series. And, dude, if this continues this way and Bledsoe just gets more and more comfortable and in better and better shape, you're looking at the third best team in the East right now and hosting a playoff series, which, man, for a team that hasn't won a playoff series since 2001, that's freaking huge, man. I'm pumped about the Bucks right now.
I legit think that Giannis and Bledsoe could have the best pick and roll in basketball. If they really learn how to gel with each other, these two guys could have the most dangerous pick and roll in basketball. Very awesome.
Not
pick
to mention
up.
Like 350 alley-oop dunks to Giannis.
Yes.
Man, that's just gonna be nuts.
Yes, I love it.
If he can stay healthy
it.
And he stays this motivated and gets in better shape, like that's exactly the piece the Bucks have been missing, is that dynamic point guard. And man, hopefully they've got it.
Absolutely.
Also, I want to give – we gave a shout-out to Jerry Jones earlier in the show, and I think he deserves a second one because that man has done the unthinkable, the most amazing accomplishment in the NFL in probably 150,000 years. He made Roger Goodell into the good guy. Think about that. In this situation, Roger Goodell is the good guy, the guy that you feel sympathy for. Like, how messed up is that? That ain't right, Jerry. That ain't right. And you know that all of this, like, kicking him out of the league talk is just to get him to back down and chill out. And he's not actually going to lose the Cowboys. But, man, I would love to have seen the look on his face when he got that headline, when he got that text to say, there's a coup forming right now.
That could be
so. That would have been fun.
That could be a final thought segment. That ain't right.
That ain't right. That ain't right. Roger Goodell's the good guy, and that ain't right. How we know? And then finally, I wish I could have been here to just spew a bunch of anger after that Lions game last week, but I couldn't. But after that game, I decided for the rest of the season to just take a total optimistic fan approach to watching these Packer games for the rest of the season and not get upset, not lose my mind every time something negative happens, not call for Capers' job every 8 seconds, save that for post game and when I'm rewatching the game. But man, I gotta tell you, watching that Bears game was a lot more enjoyable when, you know, they gave up that long screen pass to Benny Cunningham and it looked like they were going to score a touchdown, and then John Fox with the greatest challenge of all time.
Oh my
man, that
gosh.
Was amazing. We could have an entire podcast just talking about that, by the way.
His face is one of my favorite faces. That reaction,
great.
It's like 20 seconds of sheer confusion just ending with defeat. It's incredible.
How are we like 40 awesome. How are we like 40 something minutes into the show and we have yet and we have yet time. To mention that. That is all. Man, disappointing. Thank you. Thank you, Brian.
Greatest, the most Bears thing to ever happen. But yeah, so I'm watching this game and right there is when I normally would have gone on Twitter and been like, Dom, come on. Like, you have to have seen this coming. But I didn't. I was like, nah, okay, here we go. Goal line stand. Let's get this. And then something even greater happened. But man, you kind of feel stupid at times for not getting into the negative part of it because you feel like you're just being totally biased and you're not taking the game for everything it's worth. But man, it was a lot easier on my blood pressure to not just lose my mind every time something bad happened like that. And there were some really bad calls by the refs that I wanted to lose my mind over. Like that holding call against Kenny Clark, if you guys remember it, where he didn't hold anyone even remotely, even a tiny little bit. while he was 15 yards away from the play and they for some reason called it. But man, seriously, just like have a scotch and just relax and watch the game. It was a lot of fun. It really was. So those are my final thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at PTTF_Brian. You can find us at PTTF_podcast. Make sure you're checking out packtothefuture.com for all kinds of awesome content, awesome t-shirts that you should be buying and wearing every day in your life because they're super awesome. So go buy some. And yeah, that's all I got to say this week.
Well done. Well done. Dusty?
Yeah, I've got four, and one is actually, I was only going to have three, and then you brought up, you said softball question, lobbing a softball in my direction, John, and it reminded me that I don't think I brought it up in this show. Listen, man, I've been playing Church League softball in the same league for like, I don't know, probably close to 10 years, and we've been second place so many times. We started out terrible, and we've been second place so many times because the other team plays like five nights a week, and it's like ex-ball players, and it's a whole thing. And so we'll get second place comfortably in that league, and then we'll just end up getting murdered. We'll hang with the team for three innings and just get murdered in the championship game. But this fall, we won the championship. We went toe-to-toe with those guys.
Ooh.
They got great defense. They always hold us down. We ended up 26-23 was the final score. We were slugging. Yeah, I now am the proud owner of a first place trophy. It's a small little church league softball league. It's ridiculous we've not won it before now. But yeah, we won this
past. What'd you go do to celebrate?
Well, it was really late, so everywhere was closed, and so we all went home. And then the next week, we all went to a nice little sports bar close to here that's kind of midpoint for everyone. They got some of the best garlic parmesan wings I've ever had. They got they got really cold beer, TVs all over the place. It's never super busy. Service is good. So that's kind of our go-to spot for Packers games. We met up there. Hung out, you know, reveled in times, did some fireball shots like sorority girls. We had a grand old time.
Give that place a little bit of a plug right now, Dusty. What's that place called?
That's SEC Pub. It's in It's in Lexington. It's Lexington, Kentucky. I was trying to think because it might be Nicholasville. I think it's Lexington, Kentucky. Yeah, nice little place. We go there. Any Packers game that's not on TV, and a lot of the ones that are, we end up heading over there. It's a nice little place. So we're big fans of that place. But yeah, we ran the table. We went like 9-0. Every game except the championship game, we won by a mercy rule. So we were slugging this year, man. We were feeling it. So that was I don't think I'd mentioned that before. Very, very proud of ourselves.
Brian and I have a decent experience. I've had some decent amount of experience in church league softball. And it is,
so you know what's up.
It is very heated. It's more heated than bar leagues almost.
Oh yeah, because they're drinking, man. Like, of course it's more heated.
Yeah, they just let it roll off their shoulders.
That's
church league softball point. Is a nasty place to be.
This league used to be. I think it's gotten a little better. Everyone's kind of civil, but for a while it was. For a while it wasn't so much, but anymore it's a fairly civil endeavor. It's Kentucky. Everyone's at least fake nice, so everyone we're fine. So that's my first one. Don't bring that up. Here we go. Cheap tickets, guys. Listen, last week I lamented the fact that we had not seen single digit tickets yet. We'd not seen a single one. I think we'd gotten down $11. Guys, we broke that barrier.
Yes.
Not only we broke that barrier, yes. We smoked that barrier.
Yes.
We went from like the closest, I think we had $11 3 weeks ago. Guys, you can go see Jacksonville at Cleveland for the low, low, low price of $4. You know those, DVD bins in Walmart? You can buy a cheap movie that came out like 10 years ago for $5. You can go to this game for $1 less than Zombieland or something or whatever that I was going to name some other movie in the $5 bin. And I'm blanking on what it is now. Aloha. I feel like Aloha. Is that the one with Bradley Cooper and Emma Stone?
Oh my goodness.
Either way, $4. And you can see why. So the Jags are 6-3, and Blake Bortles is terrible because Blake Bortles will always be bad from now until the end of time. But that defense is ridiculous, and Bortles is not killing them, which is fine. they're 6-3 over the past three games. They've given up a combined 24 points. They've got the number one scoring defense in the league. They're only giving up. They're giving up less than 15 points a game. That Jacksonville defense, wow. Like, it's insane what that Jacksonville defense is doing. Meanwhile, the Browns, 31st in the league in scoring offense, averaging just a shade under 16 points per game. So this game is going to be ugly. Not only is this game going to be ugly, this game is going to be in Cleveland. Now, I'll say the Jags defense is good. Jags defense is very, very good. And the Browns offense is very, very bad. But this also feels like a game. We're getting kind of later in the season. Niners won last week. Browns still haven't won one. It honestly wouldn't shock me if the Browns won this game. Oh. This just seems like one of those, like, when's the last time the Jags have rolled up anywhere?
Dusty's gone.
And they're like, oh, yeah, oh, that team's going to beat somebody. Never anywhere, because Blake Bortles is awful. So, the defense is a game changer, and the defense is insane this year, and they're leaning more on the running game, so I get all that. But this also seems like, you're going to roll. Here's the thing. You're going to roll in there, and the Jags are going to be up by 20 on Cleveland at the half, or Cleveland's going to win this thing. So, I don't know. Maybe $4 is worth a lottery ticket.
I mean, Fournette.
To see what could be the Browns' first win of the game.
You get to see Fournette.
Yeah.
Who knows how good, yeah. who knows how good his career is going to go. But, it kind of leads me into another question is, how do you guys feel about Myles Garrett? You know, kind of checking himself into concussion protocol. I mean, I like it.
More players should do that.
Yeah, yeah, I absolutely love that, and I know that was kind of a big talking point a few weeks ago.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, we talked about Bennett quitting on the Packers. Garrett, I don't want to equate these two situations because they're totally different. But the Browns aren't winning anything this year, and Garrett is the future. Like, when he's been healthy. That it's been like when Joey Bosa finally came out last year, like, and he was unblockable and just killing people. Like, Garrett's going to be really, really good. But it doesn't matter if he's really good this season. And so I kind of like him and that team kind of taking a cautious approach with him. So I'm all for it. If he feels like he can extend his career a little bit and they're sitting whatever they are, 0-8, 0-9 right now, like, I love that. If they're in the thick of a playoff hunt, and it was kind of like, hey, guys, I might have a concussion. Even then, I kind of like it. But especially now, I have no issue with that whatsoever.
Yep.
All right. I've been going long. I got two more quick ones. I'm gonna do spooky movie. Spooky movie, guys.
Okay.
This past week, I watched Happy Death Day. Do you guys? There's commercials for this, but have you seen this? Have you heard anything about this?
Negative.
Okay. It's basically Groundhog's Day, but it's a slasher movie. Girl wakes up in a dorm room at the beginning of the movie with some guy she probably slept with the night before. It's her birthday. She gets up, goes, does her thing. She's a terrible human being. Goes to a party at the end of the night and gets murdered by a man in a baby mask. And after she gets murdered, she wakes up back in the bed. So she keeps reliving the same day over and over again, and she has to figure out, you know, who's killing her. And so there's this, you know, there's a whole scene where it's, the theory is, she'll just try to cross people off her list based on who didn't kill her that day. So she's actively trying to get killed, but she's trying to be with different people while she's being killed. It's the main actress is hysterical. She's perfect. The entire cast is great. The concept is awesome. It's like, yeah, it's like Groundhog Day or like Edge of Tomorrow. Only instead of seeing Tom Cruise get killed, which my wife loves because she hates Tom Cruise, to see his face get melted off is like her greatest pleasure in her entire life. You see like this, you see a terrible sorority girl get killed, and it's PG-13. So it's not overly gory. So if you're not into slashers, if you're not into horror, it's not scary. It's a comedy, and there's not a ton of gore. I was pleasantly surprised. I wasn't sure I was going to like it going into it, but man, Happy Death Day, dynamite movie. If you get a chance, check it out. There's a lot of laughs. I had a good time. Last thing, guys, I finished Stranger Things 2. Stranger Things season 2.
Don't give anything away. Don't give anything away.
I will give no spoilers. I will just say, after season 1, I didn't think season 2 could come close to doing what season 1 did for me. And listen, I get it, man. Like, I people hate it because people hate fun and they hate good things. And one of the reasons they hate it is because they say it's trying to bank on nostalgia, and it's obviously cribbing from movies from that era. Yeah, that's fine. They say as much that they do that. They own up to that. If you saw any of the posters, they had posters going into season two that was like just a play on the Aliens poster and the play on the Evil Dead poster. They clearly say these are our influences, and they go for it. They're not trying to hide that fact. They just do it so well. The atmosphere of that show is so good. The actors are so good. All the characters are so well written, so well developed. I loved, and I'm not giving anything away, John, Steve killed it this year. Like, oh, I hated that guy at the beginning of the season.
So good.
And then kind of as you get going, like, I mean, you don't even love him until really the end of season one. He was MVP of this season was Steve. And I'm a big fan of Hopper. I'm a big Hopper dude. I think that dude's amazing. That actor's great. He's going to be the next Hellboy. But Steve stole the show. But everyone was great, man. Like, he stepped up in a bigger role. If you like season one, you really need to watch season two. It's a great so spooky time. The atmosphere is good. I think they had a little more money, but it's, I'm going to have to watch it again, 'cause I watched that first season like two or three times. I think it's at least the equal of season one. When all is said and done, I may say it's better than season one. It was that good. Just a really fun time. I can't wait. I hope they do another one next year. You know, around Halloween, it's a perfect time for it. So, huge fan of Stranger Things season two. Just over the moon that it was as good as it was. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely, and my film stuff I'm now posting over at All 22 Talk.
Gentlemen, a quick poem.
John. Oh boy.
Temperatures a dropping. Ice fishing season's a knocking.
Why didn't you say popping?
Get your tip-ups ready, boys. We're about to catch some fish this year.
This is the worst poem I've ever
heard. By John Jameson.
I really liked it. I thought it was good.
It's a Sudoku type poem.
Not a thing, but sure, sure.
Subliminal messages all over the place in that. All I'm saying, guys.
That's not what subliminal messages are either.
All I'm saying.
Would you stop questioning him, Brian?
All I'm saying is that the temperatures are dropping and there's ice forming on the bodies of water that I love to fish the most. I don't have a boat, so ice fishing season is my opportunity to get out to the places where I know the fish are at. And I am so excited for ice fishing this year. I'm actually going to be going out on Black Friday, hoping to find a great deal on a nice, nice snowsuit. So I'm hoping that I can find that and just really, really catch some fishes here. So guys, if you are listening to me and Back to the Future and you are a nice fisherman, hit me up on Twitter at John Jameson. We will get out and we will catch many fish. I have some hot spots. I probably won't take you to my hot spots right away until we build up a nice repertoire and you reveal your hot spots. But it's just kind of how it works. But, yes, very excited about ice fishing season. As Brian pointed out, I'm very excited about the Bucks, and I'm very excited about the Packers. This Sunday, building up a winning streak instead of a losing streak. Let's get the win this week, boys. Let's keep momentum going. Let's keep smiles on our faces, and let's get after it this week. Ladies and gentlemen, we are Packed to the Future. Tune in every week. Give our writers a follow. Comment on their posts and just enjoy. We are still in the middle of Packer season. Ladies and gentlemen, no better time of the year. Let's go. We are Packed to the Future. Go Pack, go.